Today on Real Radio.
Of all the other gods that you've ever heard of and friends that you know who worship other gods, other nations, other countries, what have those gods or that God done for their culture and for their lives, for the sanctity of life, the protection of children, the honor of women? Think about it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his topical series on the Ten Commandments, and we're just now getting into the meat of the whole series. We've already heard the introduction to this collection of studies, and now we're examining the first of these. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called Thou Shalt Have No Other Gods Before Me.
From our perspective, from the human angle, are there any other gods? And we would say, yeah, I guess so. There's all kinds of gods. I wouldn't even venture to guess. There must be thousands, tens of thousands. Maybe there's millions of gods. If you travel the world, you hear about all kinds of gods. Right now in our world culture, I mean global culture, I hope you're waking up to the fact, you should be alert to this fact, that imagine in this 21st century, we're down to this thing all over again that happened at Mount Carmel. We're down to the battle right now of what we would say two gods. It is the battle between Allah of Islam and Yahweh of Judeo-Christian biblical roots. Two completely separate, different gods. One's real, one's not. But people have their gods. And I want to challenge you tonight. What is or who is your God? You say, I'm an atheist. I don't have a God. Yes, you do. That's the dangerous thing about idols. They're hard to identify because they get under our skin. Hey, I was right out of high school. I bought a brand new Ford. Brand new, ordered it from Ford Motor Company, Detroit, Michigan, brand, I ordered it. When it came, it had my name on the dash. It had my name. I had the money then to do that kind of stuff. And let me tell you something. I was a Christian, but then this thing arrived, and it was like, wow. And I had to walk around it a few times. Let me tell you something. I'd go to the mall or somewhere, and I'd park so far away so nobody would park next to it. Why? Oh, because it might get a scratch, and if it does, there goes my self-esteem. Can I sit in your car? No! Nobody sits in my car. That kind of stuff makes a freak out of you. That can be an idol. Things like that. The pursuit of education. It's great to be educated. Just watch out where you're getting educated and what. But it's great. In the right direction for the right things. Yes. True science, true knowledge, absolutely. But some people worship that. And that's a dangerous thing. Could be power. People strive and long for power. You shall have no other God before me, the Bible says. Why is that so dangerous? Well, there's a lot of reasons why. We'll just look at a couple of them tonight. But listen, one thing is this. It's because you and I have the capacity to create gods in our image. See, the Bible says that God created us in His image. And if you're not worshiping Him, and if He's not number one on a list of one, then there's some trouble going on in your life. And there's a battle of the wills. And one of these things is that the human nature has the ability to create a god or gods in our own image. That's why idolatrous gods that we make up are very convenient for our agenda. You look at a god that someone worships. Who is their god? Ask them, who's your god? And watch how they live their life. A friend of mine, well, he goes to this church, bought a car. I don't know why I'm talking about cars tonight. I really could care less. But anyway, it's kind of interesting because he bought a car from a guy, and when he went to go get this car, it was obvious that this guy has a shrine of these vehicles. and he has a warehouse in Los Angeles where he parks all of his cars. How many cars do you need? Well, when it begins to be something that obsesses you, and then you begin to look, you can always tell who someone's God is if you look at their checkbook or where they spend their money. What or who gets the bulk of your thought, energy, your commitment, your sweat, and your money? Right now, it appears that global governments are trying to get everybody's money. Why? What's the promise? We'll take care of you. Can you imagine if a nation of believers, I mean nation, a world of believers stood up and said, we have God to take care of us. Government can be God. We have to be very, it could be very subtle. I sometimes believe, I've said this before, but that whole wonderful, strange, scary thing with Abraham and Isaac, what was that all about? I think Isaac had reached a place in Abraham's heart where Abraham's heart had to give that child or that young man up into the Lord, because I think Isaac got in the way of Abraham and his God. And I'm going through that right now. My daughters are, they're old now. My daughters are old. But now we have the granddaughter, and it's like, hey, what does she want? Somebody find out what she wants and give it to her and give her two of them. And God says, no, no, no. But we have a tendency to do this. So mark this down. In our first point of the first commandment in our series, it is this. Number one is that real God means real devotion with God. And I wrote that down right. You say that doesn't sound right. Yeah, it has to be. Real God, that's who he is, means real devotion with God. You mean for God? No, no, no. That's a given. With God. I'm talking about fellowship with God. If he's a real God, and he is, and you and I are alive right now, and you are, then he would call us in this first commandment to have a real devotional life with God. He says, you'll have no other God before me, or gods, I should say. Notice that it's plural. It's not singular. He didn't say no other God before me, but he said it in the plural, because men's hearts, in fact, are an altar. And we can have a lot of clutter in our hearts. We can be pulled in a thousand different ways by things of interest, things of commitment. And God says, I want to prioritize your life. And a devotional life, Jack, this is what I want to do with you. I'm the real God, the living true God. And I will arrange your life. Listen, based upon my priorities, Jack. Tonight, church, we need to understand, and young people tonight, listen in, you need to come to that place, and the sooner you get to it, the better off you'll be, is all the stuff that you're thinking you need to grab onto, like have you ever seen the monkey on National Geographic? They put the jar out there, and they put the fruit in the jar, and they want to catch a monkey. It's amazing. They put the fruit in the jar like an apple. The monkey wants the apple so bad, but the guy in the jungle wants the monkey. The monkey wants applesauce. And the hunter wants monkey sauce. And the monkey puts his hand in the jar and he wants the thing so bad, but when he grabs the apple, he can't pull it out of the hole. All he has to do is turn the jar upside down, the apple will fall out. But he wants it so bad, he's pulling on it and pulling on it, and he's swinging it around, he's not. And then the guy walks up and just drags home a monkey. We can be like that with stuff. You think, I gotta have this, I gotta do this, I gotta have this thing, I gotta pursue this course, I gotta have this thing, I've gotta reach this level of. And you're like that monkey. Put God first and let him get the monkey off your back. Put God first and let him put things in order. When we fret, when we worry, look, we all fret and worry. Anybody fret and worry? We're not supposed to. I worry less than I used to. Look, okay, raise your hand again, okay? Okay, the rest of you, you're all going to come. We're going to come to the commandment, you shall not lie. I want all of you who couldn't raise your hand to come back for that, the one about lying. I wish we were all free from worrying or thinking about stuff that we ought not to be worried about. But the fact is that there's a tendency to be cluttered in our heart, and those things can become gods to us. Exodus chapter 33, verse 16 says this, "For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, Moses is talking to God on the mount, except you go with us. And so we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I love this. I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight. Oh, Lord, make that a prayer. Lord, may I find grace in your sight. Church, pray this prayer, will you? Every day, will you? For your life. For your life, pray, Lord, shower me with your favor. You say, I can't pray that prayer. That's selfish. Well, Moses had no problem praying it. Hey, the more blessed your life is, the more happier I am. I'll tell you that right now. So make me happy. Pray for yourself. You can throw me in there on it too. I'm not saying exclude me, but. So look, he keeps going. He goes and he says, verse 17, so the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Verse 18, and he said, please, oh, listen, this is Moses talking. He's an old man. Please show me your glory. We don't get that in English. Is show me your glory. We're thinking, well, is God going to pull out a picture of himself? No. Moses is saying, this is the best. Moses is going, go with us. We want you to go with us. And God says, listen, okay, you're right. You guys have found favor in my sight. I have favored you. So here's the thing. And you see Moses standing there, he's looking at God. I mean, he sees the glory, but he's, and God says, okay, I love you guys. I'm going to be with you. And you can just see Moses falling in love with God. He just goes, can I see your face? That's what he's asking. Can I see your face? I mean, I know it's against the rules. I know that it'll kill me. You know what Moses is saying? He's saying, take me. If seeing you, because you're not a human, and you're so brilliant, you're like a nuclear reactor times a billion, just fry me now in your glorious presence, God. He doesn't want to leave the side of God. We need to be like this. What's the deal? Well, we got to have that, and I'm dumb. I don't have time. Whoa, wait. To stop and be still and to gaze upon the glory of God. Moses says, I want to see your face. You can almost see the guy reaching up into the cloud and saying, where are you? Come on out, God. It is very, can I say precious? Yes. Can a man say that? Yes. Peter said it in the Bible, so I'll say it. It's amazing. It's precious. It's fantastic. So listen, those of you who don't know Jesus tonight, think about that for a moment. Moses is on the mountain. And he's seen the thunder and the lightning and the cloud. And everybody else is terrified. But the closer Moses got, instead of him saying, he's hanging under the rock, his hair's blown back 1,000 miles an hour. He's, I can't take this anymore. No, the closer he gets to God, he just says, oh man, can I see your face? See, if you think God is some mean ogre out there in the universe somewhere with a hammer, you're just like the children of Israel down in the desert. You need to get closer. Get up the mountain, man. And say, Lord, can I see your glory? Devotion. Real devotion. Because he's a real God. The one and only. Listen to what A.W. Tozer says. A.W. Tozer says, I want to deliberately to encourage this mighty longing after God. By the way, this is in this book we've been telling you to get, The Pursuit of God. The lack of it has brought us to our present low estate. The stiff and wooden quality about our religious lives is a result of our lack of holy desire. Complacency is a deadly foe of all spiritual growth. Acute desire must be present or there will be no manifestation of Christ to his people. Did you hear that? He waits to be wanted. Too bad that with many of us, he waits so long, so very long in vain, Tozer says. I love that. He waits to be wanted. God is waiting to be wanted in that devotional moment of your life. And I want you to think about that for a second. Of what of all the other gods that you've ever heard of and friends that you know who worship other gods, other nations, other countries, people. Listen, think about it. Let your mind go international right now. Go around the world in your head and think of nations that worship gods or other or some other god, and then stop and ask this question. What have those gods or that god done for their culture and for their lives? What has those gods or God done for the sanctity of life, the protection of children, the honor of women? Think about it. The definition of marriage, the value of existence itself. Go look at all the other gods, comparative religions. Get down to the root of the gods that they worship. It'd break your heart that in India, one of the most advanced developing nations in the world, India, there are people worshiping still cows and drinking. You can see this on National Geographic. You can actually watch it, where there are educated people who are chemical engineers working at a company who go and worship at a temple and drink the milk of a cow that's been sitting out in the open, and rats are literally side by side with the human drinking from the same milk bowl. An educated man. I saw that. Lisa and I saw that. We looked at each other and I just thought, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus has come, and there's a man bound by a demon god. It has nothing to do with education. You can be educated. That's something of the mind. Where's this man's heart? Where's your heart tonight? Are there idols? Are there other gods in your heart? No, listen. It's amazing because the Bible tells us that these Ten Commandments are actually in Hebrew are 10 words. We mentioned that in our introduction. The word means in Hebrew that they are 10 words or 10 guides. We would say today, though I don't like to use the term because it has negative connotations, the word actually means in Hebrew principles. And I don't like that, 10 principles. It sounds too sloppy. See, we like the commandments because it's like, yes. But I have to be honest with you, there's no command about it. It's God's principle for you living your life to the fullest. It's understanding that. By the way, as we look at this one commandment, you might want to jot down in your margin, in Jewish thought, the first commandment is linked to the sixth commandment. They're inseparable to the Jewish mind. The Jewish mind, for example, commandment one links to commandment six, commandment two links to commandment seven, and so on in the Jewish mind. It's very interesting. We'll just pick on this one tonight. The sixth commandment that the Jews tell us that are connected, that's connected to the one, is a horizontal commandment. The first commandment's vertical, toward God, man toward God. The second one, or I should say the sixth one, is man toward man. And what is the sixth commandment? It's found in verse 13. You shall not murder. Isn't that interesting? You see the connection? Lights are coming on right now in the room. If you don't have the Lord God of the Bible in your life preeminent, you have no problem with murder. If God is dead in your mind, then what does it matter if man dies? What does it matter if I take your life because I want your parking spot? It's evolution. It's survival of the fittest. Okay, think about it. If there's no God, then who's in charge? The answer is all of us are in charge. When you have no God in your life, in your mind, you have insanity. You have anarchy. And I see now why the Hebrews say the first commandment is linked to the sixth. If you have the fear of God in your life, if you believe that someday you'll stand before your maker, then you're going to think twice about murder. And by the way, when we get to that commandment, I don't want to get there. It's number six. We're still in number one. It is murder, by the way. Some of your Bibles might wrongly say kill. That is absolutely horrific that some of the translators have changed that word to kill. The word is murder. There's a big difference. Big difference. Well, what about war? And what about California executing people? What does that have to do with the sixth commandment? It has nothing to do with the sixth commandment. God is the only one who has the right and the authority to sanction war, and he does, until the Prince of Peace returns, and the execution of judgment. Man fails at both and then goes out and commits murder. Did you know that God cannot commit murder? People who don't understand theology will say, well, you know, God's a murderer. God cannot murder. Murder is a sin. Murder is not execution, nor is killing murder. Murder is premeditated murder. It is you, watch, it is you, the man, saying, I'm going to do God's stuff under my authority. And I'm going to grab that knife, or I'm going to take that gun, and I'm going to blow that person away. All because God is not present in their mind. Does that make sense? No? Three, four of us? You guys get that? You're sure quiet. You shall not murder. The Bible says in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Isn't that a beautiful thing? 1 John 4, verse 20 and 21. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he's not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. 1 John 3, verse 14. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a what? A murderer. And you know that no murder has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's powerful stuff. That is a strong word. Why is that important? Because the second thing we're looking at tonight is this, church, is that real God, the real God, means real love for people. Will you jot that down? We'll just be on that for a moment. The real God of your Bible, the real God of the first commandment, means that there's to be real love for people. You can't get away from that. It's a proven fact that any man or woman who doesn't have the concept or the reality of God in their thinking is, listen, this is a strong word, is potentially dangerous. I was blown away when I read that. Listen, how many of you are in college right now? You're in college or high school? Raise your hand. College or high school. You need to remember this. This will get you either in a huge debate in class, or get you thrown out of class. If it's a nice beach day, you might want to drop this bomb in class and they'll throw you out. It's a proven fact that someone who does not like to retain the concept of God in their thinking is potentially dangerous. I like that for two reasons. Number one, it's true. Number two, we've been warned by certain people in our government that the real problem in America are the fundamental Bible-believing Christians. They have Bibles. And they have American flags on their houses. They got a cross around their necks. You got to watch those people. They could be dangerous.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a lesson that examines the first of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. It's a look at how you and I, if left to our own devices, can easily stray from the true God of Israel, who is indeed the creator of all. Again, it's an examination of commandment number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And it's part of Pastor Jack's topical series, which examines all 10 commandments. We hope you'll make plans to be with us for this entire series, because it is a good one. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently, we presented Pastor Jack's series through the New Testament book of James, and it was a good one. Now, if you missed it or you missed any part of it, here's the good news. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you the entire series all on one MP3 CD so you can listen to it anytime, day or night. That's Pastor Jack's entire series through the book of James, all on an MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to the outreach of Real Radio. Simply visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org, and you'll see right where to point and click. It's no big deal. Realradioactive.org. Or you can give us a call if you'd like. Our telephone number is 1-877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.